Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is October 4th, 2021, and we have kicked off October already with three episodes of the Produce Industry Podcast. That's right, Fresh from the Field Fridays last week, episode 9, and episode 124 with AM King and Mission Produce live in Laredo, Texas at the Mega Distribution Center. Today we have a very special guest, Jeff Watkin. Now Jeff is the Director of Marketing at Sevren Corporation. Now this gentleman is experienced in design with a demonstrated history in working with the printing industry. That's right, packaging, everyone. Strong information technology professional skilled in pre-press, digital printing, typography, art direction, and management, everyone. We're gonna sit down with Jeff and talk all things sustainable packaging today from Sevren Corporation. A couple announcements before we get started. If you are in Long Beach, California, please come check out Coquina Sabrosa Trade Expo, October 4th through the 5th. That's at the Long Beach Convention Center on Pacific Hill. Golden Star Citrus and the Produce Industry Podcast will be there, so come see us at booth 102. Next, October 13, 2021, we have our virtual networking hour sponsored by Equifruit, the only banana you should buy. That is October 13, 2021, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Huge shout out to our sponsors, Ag Tools, FlavorWave Fresh, Noble Citrus, Buck Naked Onions, Owyhee Produce, Equifruit, Arctic Apples, John Green Logistics, and Indianapolis Fruit Company. Now let's get this started. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Patrick, how are you doing today?
Man, I am doing fantastic. After, I would say, long flights, all day working, taking care of the kids, you name it, I do it, Jeff. But realistically, man, I'm excited to have you on the show today. Now, we've had Sevren on the show, everyone. That's right. If you go back to the West Coast Produce Expo, we had Russell on the show. And then before that, Jeff, I was able to interact with Art Vega at United Fresh's virtual networking event. So I have been able to be really in communication with Sevren and learn about what you were doing for the industry, and not just for the industry, Jeff, but actually for the consumers that are purchasing produce that has your packaging. So fantastic to have you here, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we are really jazzed about being on the show. And I really appreciate everything you've been doing for the fresh produce industry, Patrick.
Hey, man, listen, it's about growing together, working together. I always say not one piece of produce grows singly. And people are like, wait a minute, what about a pineapple? I was like, yes, but it grows next to thousands of other pineapples. Just because it's on one plant doesn't mean there's thousands. You can't grow one pineapple on 1 acre, everybody. Come on. No, there's thousands of these things. So no, man, this has been fun. And I love being able to speak to great companies. So speaking of that, we had that little small overview when we had Russell on the show, okay, back in May. But give me this 30,000 foot overview of Sevren, of the company.
All righty. So Sevren is a company. We are a packaging manufacturer that has been working in the produce industry for 27 plus years. We've been in that game for a while, and we started out as a tag company. You know, so we were built on wine glass tags. We really serviced the onion and potato commodities. And over the years, we've grown that we're more now a flexible packaging company. So you'll see us doing more netting and pouches on film. And we really kind of expanded out into markets such as like avocados, citrus, apples, and even frozen goods. So I'm not, you know, we're even outside that too. And we're a dynamic company. We're not married to equipment. So that's one thing I love to tell my clients and friends is, you know, we're not married to a piece of equipment that we just manufacture that consumable for it, and that's it. We're across the board. So we can service a lot of companies in a dynamic way.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you say dynamic. When I think of dynamic, I literally, you're going to laugh. All right. I'm throwing it out there. It's like Captain Planet, man. And I said this to Russell. I'm bringing it up again, dude. I'm bringing it up. But that's how I kind of envision the Severin team, right? The dynamic team of the Captain Planet, right? You got Earth, you got water, you got fire, man. And I know that's a crazy resemblance, right? I'm throwing it out there. But I feel like that's kind of how, you know, the Severin team is. I mean, listen, convince me otherwise, right? Convince me otherwise, Jeff.
Well, I mean, we are a super versatile squad, you know, and that's one thing I love about this team. And we come from a lot of different facets within the industry. So we bring that to the table, and we really pride ourselves on servicing our customers. We're really well known for that. We're super responsive. Our lead times are quick and our quality is top notch. And that's one thing we really love hanging our hat on.
Well, listen, that's what a lot of us hang our hat on is top notch quality. And I heard you said citrus. I'm a citrus guy. I'm always interested because it's so hard as, listen, if you're a consumer out there listening and you look at these packaging and you look at these costs, and if it means something to you, a lot of times you don't look at the price at the grocery level. If you want it, if you believe in it, just like shopping at like a Trader Joe's versus a Winn-Dixie versus a Costco to a Publix, all of those prices and demographics are so different, Jeff. But to bring to this millennial Gen Z, a generation talking about sustainable packaging, they already want to know where their food comes from. They already want to know the food safety aspect. They want to know the quality. Now, look, they want to know, what about the packaging? I don't want to buy plastic. What are we doing to the environment here? So that's got to speak to sustainability within Severin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sustainability can apply to many facets within manufacturing. You know, you can talk about how the facility itself and our processes there. We use water-based inks. We have smart light technology. We're smart on our waste and our energy consumption comes from alternative resources. You know, but the other thing with sustainability is education. And I think you kind of stuck on that a little bit. You know, a lot of people don't know what to do with that packaging or that waste product at the end of life. That's why it just ends up in the landfill. So we've been working really close with entities such as like Sustainable Produce, Sustainable Packaging Coalition, and How to Recycle to educate the customer more on this and what they can do with their waste product.
And when you talk about landfills, I mean, let's be real. I mean, when I think of this, and I'm in Florida here, so a lot of the seagulls like to go around the landfills that I see, Jeff. But it's like you think of landfills. What is like the main thing you see in landfills? It's true. It's plastic. It's the Coke can, you know, the little, you know, circles around there. You know, you see trash bags, you see all this crap, man. And we got to eliminate that or we're going to have mountains of trash.
Yep. And you know, it's a interesting scenario. It's kind of depressing sometimes because, you know, plastic gets the bad rap. It takes a long time to degrade, but pound for pound with plastic, it is durable. It has barrier properties. It helps get that product to market and keep it in the market instead of resulting in food waste and other issues too. So there's a give and take there too that is going on, and you know we're really in tune with that.
Well, I was going to say too, look at alternatives, right? And that's what I like. And you spoke a little bit real quick about those, but what about like education? Because myself as the consumer, right? Or a buyer, right? Ooh, I'm going to touch on this one, Jeff, a buyer in the produce industry. That's a retail buyer. Oh my God, the retail buyer, Jeff. But like, dude, think about it. You get these retail buyers and you come to them and you're like, hey, listen, we've got this new program. It's packaging. It's sustainable packaging. It's no, you know what I mean? And you go to them. The first thing they say is it going to be more expensive? If it is, I just want to stick with the regular packaging because that's what all the other brands are doing. And that's what I want. I mean, like, you know, how I go into that monotone voice, but that's how the conversation's going. Heck, I sell citrus. And there's many times that I reach out and I promote the sustainable packaging because where I am, Jeff, we don't have sustainable packaging per se, right? We're using the normal people, right? I say it like that because they only offer what they offer, right? So we still have those mesh header bags. We still have the normal corrugated, right? And the reason that being is because my customers aren't willing to accept that. Now we have sustainability programs and other aspects of that, but our customers will not allow us to raise our price. How do we educate the consumers that it's okay and we're doing what's best for not just the industry, but for the globe?
No, that's a great question. And I wish I had a great answer for you. You know, the education and the ease of use is a big deal. But if you look at younger generations and the demographics that are coming across and the surveys that we're seeing out there right now, you know, sustainability is very important to people, especially the younger generations. That's one thing that, you know, they are willing to possibly pay just a little bit more money here for that product with packaging that is a sustainable option. Plus, there are other options out there, too, that might be able to get us there without a huge burden of financial burden.
Yeah, that financial burden. It's everybody's pocketbook. You heard it. I just smacked my thigh, even though I don't have a wallet, but it doesn't matter. It hits the pocketbook, everyone. But I think if we educate consumers in the right way, give them the insights that they need, show them where the waste products actually go, I think that will then, again, like you said, help drive innovation. And then the companies will have a control to be able to pay, obviously, growers more money, because everyone, the last thing you want to do is beat up a grower. If you keep beating up growers for pennies on the dollar, I will tell you, everyone, there will be no groves left, right? There's water, but everybody's a water bill. Everybody has these things. We have to be educated in the way of understanding the way of the future and sustainability, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of things going on out there in sustainability too, that are misleading. You know, we see a lot of greenwashing going on right now within the industry.
Whoa, stop. What the heck is greenwashing? I know bleach, like triple bleached and stuff like that. What is greenwashing?
Well, greenwashing is basically unsubstantially environmental claims on a product or the packaging for that product. So a good example is like you'll see products out there that say eco-friendly or 100% natural. Now, there's no real good measuring stick for those things. So you run into those things and then you see people doing that in the packaging side too, which it's truly misleading for the consumer. And then it waters down everything. So you run into people that are misled. They don't know, so they're just going to go and buy the normal item, throw it in the trash. The other thing you also run into is there's just really not great infrastructure in place for a lot of our options right now, too. You know, recycling is a good example of that. Think about compostability as well. About 4 or 5 years ago, we had, you know, we would send all our recycling overseas, or a good chunk of it. And that has stopped. That's kind of amplified what we're starting to see now. And with recycling going into our recycling centers in the U.S., the sad state of affairs, especially for plastic, is it's usually going in the front door and the back door, it's going out to the landfill. And with plastic, we're not as developed as we see it with, say, tin or paper products for the recycling stream. So that's something we really got to focus on. And I am passionately believing that we will get there. It's just that's going to take time.
Oh, man, everything takes time, right? Time and money, right? Yeah. Time and money. And, you know, you realize that time is money, because everybody, or here, let me ask you, Jeff, do you know the most valuable commodity on this earth? I mean, hell, we're in commodities, but do you know the most valuable commodity?
Oh, man, I don't know if I want to answer this. I want to say water, but I'm not sure on that. Maybe land?
I like it. Water, land. He's thinking like a true produce and supply chain professional, but I'll drop it on you. Ready? Time is the most valuable commodity on this earth, because you never know when it will expire.
Wow, that's philosophical.
A little deep, huh? Deep for the Produce Industry Podcast.
Yes.
Well, listen, Jeff, I mean, think about it, man. I mean, we all have time. It's just how we spend that time, how we use that time, especially, again, we're talking about the globe and sustainability and sustainable packaging. I mean, all of this has to do with time. We are all limited to time on this earth, and we all have to do what is in the best of our nature to do with that time, right? So I think it's just a great aspect to say time is the most valuable commodity. It really is. To me, it is. So, Jeff, this is a perfect time as we talk about time, right? Being a valuable commodity. What is also valuable is relationships. So let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and then get right back to talking.
Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is a unique, practical, and easy. Ag tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
As we all know, traditional plastics do not rapidly degrade. If not properly recycled, they build up in landfills, pollute our environment, and ultimately disrupt our ecosystems. As a leader in the packaging industry, Severin is excited to introduce BioAble Solutions, the newest addition to our family of high-performance packaging. Enabled with bioassimilation technology, our BioAble Solutions products are 100% recyclable and uniquely formulated to fully degrade in both marine and terrestrial environments, leaving behind no microplastic waste. BioAble Solutions by Severin is a true sustainable option for the everyday consumer that directly addresses plastic and food packaging sustainability. High-performance packaging in a responsible format.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. It's always great to hear from our sponsors. Heck, a couple new sponsors as well. And that's what I love about the produce industry. It is about growing together, everyone. Together. I love it. So, Jeff, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen, in the beginning of the show, if you're just tuning in now, we talked a little bit about Severin's overall company history, 27 plus years in the business, everyone. We talked about sustainability, the manufacturing process, heck, education, and even greenwashing. Still a little bit confused on the greenwashing. I'm sure that it's not washing cash. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's not. But I'm telling you, I love one thing that I'm seeing with Severin, and that it is full sustainability. And really, Jeff, and tell me if I'm wrong, you guys are just looking toward the future of prominent success.
Absolutely, man. We are forward thinking, and that's what we have to be right now with sustainability. You know, it's a dynamic time, and it is always evolving, and we are rolling with that.
Well, speaking of rolling, let's talk about recycling a little bit. Let's talk about what recycling is doing in our industry, right? How we participate. If you go to the packing houses in the citrus industry, you'll notice that we have our balers there, right? Jeff, you know what a baler is. I mean, who doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Then the grocery stores have balers, right? But okay. I'm being real with you, Jeff. The plastic, all that, everything still gets thrown in a normal trash can. I mean, I know we're jumping off the sustainability aspect of packaging, but even when you look inside of a produce organization, you know, you've got to look about how to recycle. So obviously that was my version of it, but talk to me about the recycling programs or recycling and what you guys do at Severin.
You know, that's a great question. You know, with recycling, that's one thing we've always talked about with our clients when sustainability comes up. That's the first subject, because that's where the infrastructure is in place for a majority of the people in society for their waste. So we usually try to steer people with their plastic packaging into recycling options, films that are recyclable that either can be dropped off the store or dropped into your recycling bin at your home, depending on where you live and municipality-wise. One thing with plastics is, I know we talked a little bit about tin and paper. Those have great infrastructures in place. They're a little bit more bolstered with the recycling stream. Plastic is still kind of trying to catch up. So, you know, the thing with plastic, though, is you've got a lot of benefits to it, and the preservation of food, the durability, and you just can't quite get there with a paper product as a substitute. The other thing is, and you got to think about this, with plastic, the startup and refining the process to make it is a little bit less of a footprint as you see with, say, a paper product. A lot more energy goes into, say, taking a paper product or taking wood, refining it down to paper, and putting it out the door for a manufacturer to utilize. So you have to keep those types of things in mind, too. And people think about the end of life. You also think about the beginning of life as well.
So recycling, everyone, a big problem for me is styrofoam, man. Styrofoam is like my arch nemesis. And I can tell you, I am a Pepsi guy, Jeff. I love Pepsi. I love Coke. I'm just one of those guys where I love soda. I know it's so bad for you, but I just can't get enough of it, man. If you ever see me you know, if you catch me at a trade show, if you catch me, I might have a glass of wine, but 9.9 out of 10 times, I will have a glass of Pepsi in my hand. I just love it. But when I go to the gas stations, you get the Wawa's down here, right? I go to Wawa and I go to this. They only have styrofoam cups, Jeff. And I just, it baffles me sometimes because I think styrofoam, these paper straws, like some of the things they're doing, I think it really eliminates the whole purpose sometimes, right? Because you're having more waste from paper straws than you did from plastic straws. Yes, I understand the plastic got into the oceans, but more people are throwing away paper straws than they were plastic straws. I don't want to use styrofoam cups. You know, Chick-fil-A, they got styrofoam cups. I hate it. Every time I go through Chick-fil-A, I'm like, do you guys have to use styrofoam cups? They're like, yes, why? And I was like, no one's talked to them about sustainability yet. Like, you know what I mean, Jeff? Like, that's one thing that I do not like is styrofoam.
Yep. No, I agree, man. You know, and you're talking to somebody that sells plastic. So, you know, that's the whole thing here is, you know, I sell plastic, so I got a lot of skin. We've all got skin in the game.
Oh, huh.
But, you know, but as a packaging manufacturer, I feel like I'm on the forefront. And I'm the one that can introduce new products to the market. I'm the one that can help drive innovation. And so that's one thing I'm really passionate about with Severin and the rest of the company is as well, because we see ourselves right there on the forefront, being able to introduce these new products to the market and help our clients, you know, grow into it and find alternatives that are true solutions for this huge issue that we have.
And I'm glad you said that, because a lot of companies do not take the responsibility and the forward initiative to say, listen, I'm the actual supplier of these things, so it's my job to introduce this to my customers. And a lot of people would say, well, no, we're making profit off this, so let's just keep selling them this. Let's not change. If it's not broke, don't fix it. How many times have we heard that, Jeff, in our lifetime, right? It's like,
yep.
But we gotta evolve. We have to change, right? So I really, really love that you put that in the forefront of saying it is your job, because I do believe it is, because I can't go to Chick-fil-A and say styrofoam cups are out. I never want to do that. No, their manufacturer has to convince them cost cutting, cost structures, boom, 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 to make that work. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are always in the middle of those conversations, you know, trying to find the alternatives or bring an alternative to the market. And that's why we have an alternative that we introduced late last year that I'm really excited about, and it's really taken off well. And it's called BioAble Solutions. And it's basically our plastic products, the things we make in our facility, our tags, our labels, our pouches, our film, our netting. But it is a engineered product that has a shorter lifespan, because we all know plastics take forever to break down. If it gets in that landfill 300 years later, you know, that plastic is still there.
I didn't know that.
You know, so one thing that we're very passionate about with this is we see this as a true solution for the everyday consumer. Because keep in mind also, we talked about earlier in this podcast, you run into situations where people don't have recycling options. They don't have an option for their waste outside of it just going into a landfill. So this product has an engineered lifespan. And we have crafted the lifespan specifically for the fresh produce industry. So it 18 months, it actually retains its properties. It's just like a normal plastic bag or a normal net or a normal tag. Nobody could tell the difference. And then after the 18 months as goes by, you'll see the product will start to break down. And we've seen other products like this introduced to the market. But the big issue with those products was there was always microplastics. Those evil microplastics. And everybody never thought about that, but that's a huge issue as well. And the thing with BioAble Solutions is it breaks down after 18 months, starts to break down within 24 months, whether it's in marine or terrestrial environments, it'll break down with no microplastics left behind.
I'm saying wow, because you went on a level that is really reached my peak, right? And I say that because this is new, right? So I don't even understand this. So I'm listening to you and I'm like, but I got that E=mc² thing happening in my head. Like, I'm like, okay, I understand. And then all of a sudden it drifted off, right? Because again, this is your world. And obviously BioAble Solutions is new, right? So this is something that you're introducing to your customers and to your people. So I love it, man. I mean, this is a lot of things that one, the produce industry needs, and not just the produce industry, but the globe. I didn't even know it took 300 years to break down plastic. I do know this though. When you go to the Monterey Aquarium in Monterey, California, And even down here, Clearwater Aquarium, they have plastic like displays, and people, what they do is they make art out of all the plastic, and then they give a story behind it saying, you know, this is how much plastic was, you know, taken from, you know, the ocean, and we made this beautiful piece out of it, you know, but please, you know, be conscious about where you throw your plastic. And then they show you the pictures of like fish being caught in there, turtles being caught in all these different things. So as like a consumer, right, we got to throw this to the consumer too. I mean, that is really a big deal, Jeff. I mean, plastic, I didn't know 300 years, man. So what happens if it's in the ocean? How long can it sit in the ocean for?
You got me. I mean, I'm sure even longer. I mean, the environment comes down to it. So it's, you know, I say 300 years in a landfill, possibly, you know, an ocean may be totally different time span, but that is going to damage that environment, and it's going to make, it's not going to add to, it's going to take away. So with that being said, you know, we see BioAble Solutions as a great option for our clients, because it retains the normal characteristics of plastics, but it has a rapid breakdown. So whether it makes it in the recycle stream, oh, and that's one other thing. Hold up. This is also able to be recycled. So I'm giving my client options here, Patrick. I'm giving them options of being able to put this in the recycle stream if you have that available. But if you don't, if it makes it into the landfill, it should break down within a 2-year span. So that's the beauty of this is I can't control how Patrick handles his waste. But if I have a solution like this for the market, I am somewhat controlling that. I am kind of introducing something that will degrade down in a rapid time span and not add to a long-term problem.
I like it, Jeff. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for all the knowledge. I'm telling you, this is the mic drop right here, because one, if you see what I'm doing on my side, I've got notes, everybody. I'm like a note writer through my podcast too, because this is all very knowledgeable. So thanks for dropping the knowledge on me today. But for our listeners out there, if anybody wants to get a hold of yourself or Severin as an organization, Jeff, how do they go about doing that?
You can visit us on our website at sev-ren.com. You can also hit us up on LinkedIn and Instagram. That's at Severin Packaging. And then you could also get to me directly at my email. That'd be jwatkin@sev-rend.com.
I love it, Jeff. Everything sustainable packaging, everything for the produce industry and the globe. We're talking about Severin sustainable packaging, everyone. So, Jeff, it's been great to have you on the show. And as I say, we'll see you in the fields or on the horizon.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate having us on the show. And again, appreciate everything you're doing for the produce industry, man. You're crushing.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.